program. My name is Peter Lewis, and I'm pleased to be able to join you once again, dear listeners. Today we're going to take a look at some digestive issues, look at some statistics and see where we are, what's going on in the realm of digestive conditions. And no doubt some of you may have digestive issues, and if you have questions, you can simply call. You know the phone number is 731-584-7570 or 584-4444. Wow, I had a little senior moment there. I'm too young for that. So, digestive disease, I look at some of the information Medline Plus has on their website. Also look at some other sites, and says digestive diseases, of course, are diseases that disorders of the digestive tract. All right, so that's what we're looking at, from the mouth all the way on down, and we pull the liver in there, we pull the gallbladder in there, and so on. I'm going to itemize some of them, and at the same time we're going to look at some symptoms, the prevalence of these conditions. Now, of course, imagine that when God made man, they were not affected with digestive issues. They were not affected with any disease condition. So man was perfect as he came forth from the Creator's hand. And over a period of time, God did such an excellent job in the formation of man, first couple, and those who lived close to their time, that they were able to live for 969 years, some of them. That is amazing. That's a lot of strong constitution, strong building. Just imagine living for 200 years, and we will be in amazement. But back closer to the Garden of Eden, man's vital force, their life energy, was so great that they were able to live freely and easily for 900, 800, 700 years. Of course, that is still short of the Creator's plan. The Creator's original plan is that man and woman would live and eternal ages without seeing death nor disease of any kind. But, you know, lo and behold, sin came on the scene through disobedience, and it keeps getting worse and worse, and so mankind begin to be affected more and more with different disease conditions. By the time Christ came on the scene, about 4,000 years after creation, there was disease and suffering everywhere. Okay, and now we got roughly 2,000 years later in our time, and we can see disease being so prevalent today that it is just an alarming situation. Let's look at some of what is out there in terms of these conditions. All right. When we look at some of the digestive issues, the digestive diseases affect some 60 to 70 million people in the United States. 60 to 70 million. That's quite a large amount. Okay. And the cost of dealing with these conditions is also very alarming. $141.8 billion spent on this kind of digestive disorder in 2004. 98 billion dollars deal with direct medical cost, $44 billion indirect costs, for example, disability and mortality, and this referring to 04. All right, so some of the disorders, I'm going to just make a list of some of them. You got chronic constipation, that's at the top. That's at the top. That affects 63 million people in the United States. 63 million. That is quite a large amount of people affected by constipation. And as a result of constipation, there were 1.1 million was hospitalized as a result, and 132 deaths were directly attributed to that condition of constipation. And we know that constipation, which is a sluggish bowel, which is a bowel that does not move, the norm, friends, is that the bowel is supposed to move after each meal. So if we eat three meals a day, we're supposed to have three bowel movements a day. That is the physiological norm. Anything else is the abnormal. And there's a price, there's a cost for the abnormal. Gallstone is another one that is listed under the digestive issues, digestive disease. Affect 20 million people, 994 deaths as a result of that situation, and almost 675,000 hospitalization. Gastroesophageal reflux disease, that affects 20% of the population. Okay, so that's quite a large number if we were to do the math, with 1,653 deaths as a result of that. That's in 2010, that is. And then you have infection of the digestive tract, 77 million people. And they list a few of the different forms of infection. We're not going in there. Then we have hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids, people are troubled with hemorrhoids and they bleed and so on and so forth. That is 75% of people older than 45 is affected with hemorrhoids to one extent or another. And usually you have coupled with that a sluggish bowel. So a sluggish bowel may very well result with hemorrhoids, depending upon the degree and the intensity of the condition. Then we have inflammatory bowel diseases. All right, such we have Crohn's disease, affect 359,000 people. And we have ulcerated colitis, 619,000 people affected by ulcerated colitis in the United States. Irritable bowel syndrome, 15.3 million, million people is affected by that condition there. Liver disease, the liver is comes into play with the digestion as well. 3 million people is affected by that condition. Various form of liver condition. Then you have pancreatitis. The pancreas produce some enzymes necessary for digestion as well, just like the liver produces bile and HCl. Then we have pancreatitis. It's not as common, but you're dealing with 1.1 million people in the United States in the year 98 anyway. That's what the stat is for. It varies from year to year. It covers all the way up to 2010, 2011, and so on. Peptic ulcer disease, 15.5 million people affected by ulcer, hepatitis A, okay, and hepatitis B, prevalence of chronic infection, which is hepatitis A, that was a zero in 2007. Okay, prevalence of hepatitis B, we're looking at 800,000, and I better keep moving, I better move on here. Hepatitis C, between 2 and 3 million people. So digestive health is very important. What goes on in the digestion is very important, because what you eat has to be dealt with by the digestive organs, and if there are issues there, then digestion will not occur well. And if digestion does not occur, what we're looking at is that the nutrients that the body require to build healthy cells will not be there. And if they're not there, if they're not coming in through the diet, then how will the body continue to sustain itself? And this is what usually happens. The body then will begin to pull minerals, whatever minerals that are needed, from other organs or tissue that has an abundance of that particular nutrient. And what usually happens then is that the organ that is giving up some of that nutrient end up wearing out and develop problems. Case in point would be like the lung tissue. Lung tissue is exposed to all 84 minerals which is necessary for the human body. So if the minerals are not coming in, and the condition is really bad, the deficiencies are really bad over a long period of time, then the cells in the lungs begin to die off prematurely, forming adhesions and dehydrate and develop problems in emphysema and so on and so forth. This could be whether you're a smoker or a non-smoker. Another example of that would be osteoporosis, which we're very well familiar with. Nature, if it's not coming, if the calciums are not coming in, then nature goes to the bony structure to pull the calciums. Okay. Another factor, if there is issues, nature will pull, let's say, potassium from the brain in situation, develop brain tumor. The prostate, we're looking at manganese and zinc. If it's not coming in, then typically the prostate generally enlarge and develop problems over a period of time. The nutrient is not coming in. So what I'm saying is that taking care of the digestive organ is perhaps the single most important thing that we can do to maintain health. Whatever we can do to ensure that nutrients, nutrition, vital nutrients get into the system, that is a job well done. Because if it doesn't come in, friends, guarantee, regardless of what medication you're on, nature is going to be robbing Peter to pay Paul. If Paul don't have it, it's going to rob Tony. If Tony don't have it, it's going to rob Susan, and so on. And the organs are simply going to wear out. And so we can see disease then is usually due to mineral deficiency. Mineral deficiency is the foundation of all disease. Mineral deficiency, of course, will affect the thinking process. And then the thinking process, the hormonal process, comes into play. and we become stressed and uptight, and that mental aspect also plays a role in various diseases. Some of the symptoms that you may see with various of the digestive issues, from bleeding to bloating, of course constipation, diarrhea, heartburn, incontinence, nausea, vomiting, pains in the belly, swelling, swallowing problems, weight gain or weight loss, all these are indicative of problems in the digestive organs. And, you know, we should not just in what's going on. All right. Now, some of the condition, your GERD, your IBS, some of the things that are that is beneficial for the digestive organs, for the digestive system, in terms of practice, that's good. Good practice, good habit is to be able to eat the food at specified intervals. Eat the food, eat a regular diet. Number one, you know, whatever your diet is these days, try to develop a pattern of regularity. So I eat breakfast at this time, and I eat lunch at this time, I eat dinner at this time. Every day, I try to keep that regularity. Okay. Another thing that would benefit all of the digestive conditions is to recognize the importance of eating a high fiber diet. Yes, a high fiber diet. And so a high fiber diet will help to benefit the colon, especially. It sweeps it, it keeps it clean, and so we don't have too much problem, because your IBS and some of your other things, your Crohn's and some of the other inflammatory conditions there, no doubt could be precipitated by a very constipated bowel. So a high fiber diet will go very well to help to prevent a lot of conditions. 63 million U.S. People in the United States affected by constipation. Is there any wonder they call it the mother of all disease, or the foundation of all disease condition? All right, so a high fiber, so regularity in meal is one. A high fiber diet, so that would necessitate, instead of eating white rice, white bread, white flour, your enriched pasta, you eat the whole grain version of these foods. So you do the brown rice instead of the white rice. Hey, if you want to spice it up, you could try black rice, you could try red rice. These rice are delicious. And the differences in these rice also have some variations of nutrients as well. Instead of the white bread, go with whole wheat bread. And you understand the point. Now, some of us say, man, I can't deal with that. I can't deal with that white, that brown flour, that whole wheat flour. And it's a choice, an intelligent choice that we all must make in life. Whether I'm going to treat my body in such a way that it will promote health, or whether I'm just going to put anything in there, whatever I feel like, I just put it in. You know, it's a choice we have to make, and there is a payday that comes back around. The only thing is, when payday comes in this situation, we never trace it back to the true cause. Why? Why this come upon me? We never trace it back. We think that it just jump out of the thin air, and I'm just the unlucky person, so it just falls on me. Consider that whatsoever we do in life, we are laying the foundation for good or for bad. The Bible says, the curse causeless shall not come, Proverbs 26:2, or whatsoever man sow, that shall he reap. Okay, so we dealt with regularity that would benefit the colon, the digestive organs. We dealt with high fiber diet, which would bring in your whole grain, whole food, instead of your refined food. And the third one that would benefit your digestion is actually drinking a water that would benefit your digestive system as well. The reason for that is if you do not get in your fluids, then that naturally causes a weakening in the gastric juice. And that lays the foundation then for you not to get certain nutrients, which lays the foundation for deficiencies to affect the body, and so on and so forth. We maintain that some of the very primary, the first thing that usually happens is to weaken the gastric juice, of course, is an oxygen deficiency, calcium deficiency, and a deficiency of water. Okay, lack of sufficient water in the diet. And some people just by who were having GERD, acid reflux, just by increasing their fluids throughout the day, they notice their gastric juice gets stronger. You know, nature cannot make something out of nothing. It is not that there is too much acid. Usually it's because that which is there is not strong enough, so it really can't do the job, so it just sits there, and so on and so forth. So, get plenty of water, not with the meal immediately, but throughout the day, spread out the fluids throughout the day. That goes a far way. And as far as where the calciums and the oxygen, make sure we... What I do, you know, and I have to be careful because I'm not a medical doctor, nor do I, you know, tell people what to do and et cetera, et cetera. But eat foods. I would eat foods that are nutritious. Choose the more nutritious foods, foods high in your calcium, because your calcium, as I've stated so many times, is your king of all nutrients. And calcium level goes down, everything else, all the other function, the integrity of every cell in the body is affected to one degree or another. Because calcium go into the manufacturing, the making of every cell, not just the bone cells. All right? So we have that are some of the things that can be done. Now, we have water. Fiber, we have regularity, and chewing your food is another one that is beneficial. Instead of just cutting and swallow the food, we need to cultivate the habit of chewing the food thoroughly, completely, because the last time I read an anatomy book, they didn't mention anything about the stomach having teeth. I never read that there, so that means that there is no teeth in the stomach. So chewing the food thoroughly in the mouth, keep it there, chew it, you know, and the good old saying is 32 times, even though I never count, but just chew it thoroughly, because if you chew it well, then the gastric juice, the digestive enzymes are able to do a lot more, okay? The other thing is... that would be beneficial is enzymes, having enzymes. Now, this is one reason why raw foods, raw salad, you know, raw fruits is beneficial, because when you eat a vegetable meal, and if you eat the raw first, then you set the stage for the enzyme from those food to begin to break down the food even before the hydrochloric acid is secreted and your other digestive fluid. So from 30 to 60 minutes after you eat, those the enzymes from the food continues to work in the stomach. So, but if you don't eat raw foods, then you don't have that added advantage to work in your favor. So that's why it's good to have some raw salad or raw fruit with our meals, and eat them first. Eat the raw first at all times. That's very beneficial. So listeners, you kind of get the idea. Digestive disorders are very prevalent, and we want to learn how to begin to do things so that we can improve our digestion, improve our health, so that we won't be affected by the conditions that I went over. Listeners, you can join us next week at the same time. If you do have questions, you may contact me at Better Living Natural Food Store, 731-279-0350, 731-279-0350. For whatever question you may have, we will do our best to try to answer. Thank you very much. God bless you, and have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Oh, man, it's good to hear Charlie.
Sure was. We got a lot of his commercials still playing on both sides.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Is are y'all going to change them?
Eventually, yeah.
Eventually,
yeah. At some point, I'm sure we'll have to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Y'all used to have, he used to have Jim's stuff running for a while after he left. Them off now.
Huh? Oh, yeah. I think a lot of that just went, I don't know, unnoticed, and they just, for whatever reason, just let it run for a while.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And then they change it eventually.
One of our bargain auction ladies was talking about Jim yesterday.